Thank you. Aren't we blessed here?
Yes.
Fabulous music. Thank you so much. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So I have a bit of a dilemma that I want to talk about today. Is that okay?
Yes.
So in New Thought, our foundation principle is there's only one life living itself through us, through all of creation, one presence, one power, one life, only one. And if that's true, if that is our foundational belief, how on earth is it possible for us to ever feel separate from one another? Isn't that a good question? How is that possible? How is it possible for someone to walk into their place of business and shoot 12 people just for the heck of it, or who knows why? How is that possible? How is it possible, if we are all one, that those kinds of things are showing up and happening in our world? If we're all integral parts of this one web of life, connected at the source, deeply connected, then where does our sense of isolation and alienation originate? Well, imagine with me that a spell has been cast upon all of humanity. Can you go there this morning? And that spell makes everything and everyone, all of that oneness, actually appear to be separate, disconnected. Can you imagine such a thing? You know, the author Mary O'Malley refers to limiting beliefs as spells. Spells that we cast upon ourselves as children. But all of these spells, all of these limiting beliefs, they all originate, they all stem from the original spell, and it's that sense of separation, a belief in separation. That's where it all begins. Everything starts there. Einstein is quoted as saying it this way: a human being is part of a whole called by us the universe, a part limited in time and space, and he experiences himself and herself, thoughts and feelings, as something separated from the rest. A kind of optical delusion of consciousness. And this delusion, he says, is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons near us. And he adds that our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circles of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its beauty. It's a lengthy quote, but I think he really captures the essence of this dynamic. So separation, if we think of it as an optical delusion, the good news is there's a way to overcome it through compassion. My talk this morning is widen the circle. And I would like to take some time to really explore this dynamic a little deeper, looking at the consequences of living under this spell of separation, this optical delusion, as well as considering what the antidote is. Because this sense of separation, it cuts us off. It cuts us off from really living. We're held back from feeling the pure joy of our aliveness. It's not available to us when we're there. The dualistic mind, which you know, most of us have been taught to utilize, to rely on, it's incapable of creating unity. You see, we're wired to divide reality. It's just what our mind does. The egoic mind needs an other in order to exist as a separate identity. And some of the typical behaviors that show up from this delusion of separation range from being fearful, always on alert, you know, needing to protect ourselves, thinking that way. We might have to think we have to improve our bodies. Anybody? Right? Trying to fix ourselves or change our personalities in order to be accepted. We could spend our time striving for another's approval, searching for that, believing that we don't belong in some way or that we don't measure up to others. These behaviors are all consequences of the disconnect from the awareness of spirit. And you know, it's easy to see where this belief stems from. When we look around, it certainly appears that we're all separate. We all have our own bodies. You can differentiate between your body and the seat you're sitting in. And even though we know from quantum science that what appears to be solid is 99.999% what?
Empty space.
Right. Still, it hurts when we collide with the 0.0001%. Have you noticed this? You ever stepped on a piece of Lego without your shoes on? When that's happened to me in that moment, the Lego and I were not one. Definitely not. So we can certainly bump up against the manifest realm and come face to face with life. And it very much appears that everything in this world is separate. And yet, at the source, we're connected. Everything around us is an expression of an underlying connected web of life, a world of energy. Matter is simply congealed energy, an outer expression of the unified field. Right?
Yeah.
And you know, it's much like these aspen trees that seem to be separate from each other. But when we look past appearances, we look underground, we find the entire grove is actually connected through its shared root system. And in the same way, you and I are divinely connected at our root system, spirit, one life living through every single one of us. But despite our affirmation that there's only one presence and one power, we still continue to live our lives stuck in separation, having life be against us, feeling separate from each other and from the divine. But what if I told you that the shift I'm talking about is simply a thought away? Would that be good news?
Yes.
Because the only thing that can keep us separate from God is the belief that we're separate. It's merely a thought that we have decided is true and that we believe. But it's a mistaken belief. And Thich Nhat Hanh suggests that it's our life's purpose to awaken from this illusion that we're separate and to begin living life in the truth of oneness, in interbeingness. And until we do, we will continue to experience life as separate and because of that, take on different defensive postures, needing to be right, proving my worth, trying to control life, struggling, striving, turning to addictive behaviors to feel okay. Do you know what I mean by any of this?
Yes.
Good, I'm not the only one then. It's about pushing the river to attempt to make change, struggling through life, still relating to the world from a Newtonian machine-like viewpoint, trying to exert pressure and force to make things happen. And if that doesn't work, we use more force. Try harder. And this all makes sense in a world of separation. But as the Course in Miracles tells us, truth does not fight against illusions, nor do illusions fight against the truth. Illusions battle only with themselves. It's a great reminder of that. So instead of using force, why don't we use the force? See, what if it's only a matter of vibration we're talking about here? Imagine that. What if the appearance of separation is simply a matter of vibratory differences? And imagine if instead of trying to control our life situations, we moved within connecting with life itself and resonating with its vibratory signature. And what if that opened us up to this creative flow that we can now make change in the outer world? And what is life's vibration? It's divine love. It's kindness. It's empathy. It's compassion. It's peace. It's widening the circle of compassion. And in order to do that, we have to include ourselves in it. Nobody belongs outside of the circle, including you. And that is the answer to breaking the spell of separation. Pure and simple, it all comes back to love, both for oneself and for others. And I'm not talking here about some soppy emotional sentimentality or, you know, some weak, anemic, faint-hearted fondness. No. This is power. This is firepower. It's the force. It's able to move mountains brand of power. Nuclear energy without the waste. In fact, let's call it new clear energy. Although there's nothing new about it. It's as old as time and as new as tomorrow. See? Every single one of us is actually made of this energy. Every one of us. As Julian of Norwich, the 14th century English mystic, writes, we are not only made by God, by God, we are made of God. And when we can shift from made by to made of and start to consciously resonate from that energetic field of love and compassion, we raise our vibration to one of coming into alignment with the oneness of life and awakening from the spell of separation. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
And the more you raise your vibration to one of divine love, the more welcoming your heart becomes for the presence of God to be awakened. We lure spirit back into our awareness through love's vibration. And we have never actually been disconnected, of course, except in our own mind. I love this quote, although I don't know who said it, somebody who understands. Compassion is to oneness what radiance is to the sun. So in other words, oneness is a glow with the healing vibration of love. They go together. It can't be separated. The same way you can't take the silver out of the spoon. Love is what we're made of, and it is our job to share that love with the world, all of us. It's why we're here. Do you know that about yourself?
Yes.
Have you heard of Kuan Yin? Kuan Yin, she's known as the Buddhist goddess of kindness, mercy, and compassion, the Chinese Bodhisattva. And her name actually means one who hears the cries of the world. And as the legend goes, after having achieved enlightenment and earning the right to enter nirvana, Kuan Yin was right at heaven's gates when she heard someone crying back on earth. And so she stopped, turned around, and vowed to stay in order to help all those who suffer to reach nirvana. And she got a whole bunch more arms out of the deal so she could comfort more people. Well, guess what? Every single one of us can be a bodhisattva. It is archetypal energy that's available to every one of us right now as spiritual beings having a human experience, as inlets and outlets of the divine. And we don't have to be poised and ready to enter heaven's door. We can just do it right here, right now, although of course we're always poised and ready to enter heaven's door. But we can just, in this moment, start to be that. We can express the deep compassion that indwells us with those around us, with anyone in need of comfort, whoever that might be. I read a story about a couple of horses that inspired me and warmed my heart. The horse on the left is named Alona, and she is blind. And the horse on the right, named Jack, brings Alona her food every single meal. Jack is Alona's eyes. He never lets her down. He's loyal and devoted. Every meal is an act of love. And I have to tell you that just witnessing this loving act is good for us. Did you know that? Thanks to mirror neurons in the brain, witnessing or hearing about another's altruistic kindness triggers the same physiological changes in our brain as the person doing the kind act. And when we open our hearts, bringing forth a feeling of love and compassion, it stimulates the desire to share it with the world. But compassion, turns out, it's also very good for our health. There's a lot of research on the effects on the body and mind from feeling love and feeling compassion, both for ourselves and for others. The immune system is activated. Compassion can reduce anxiety and depression and shame-based thinking. It deactivates the body's threat system. It activates the body's attachment system, which calms the amygdala. It's been shown to raise emotional intelligence. It helps to deal with stress as it lowers cortisol levels and increases heart rate variability. Thank you. And I want you to all repeat that back to me now. Suffice it to say, there are many physiological, psychological, and emotional benefits to bringing forth compassion. Feeling good is just plain good for us. And it's healing. As Unity's co-founder Charles Fillmore writes, all healing systems recognize joy as a beneficent factor in the restoration of health. And so our internal state matters. It matters to our body, it matters to our mind, it matters to all of us. It's not only good for us individually, it's good for the whole world. Widening our circle of compassion is how we end a sense of separation and isolation and alienation from each other. Kindness begets more kindness, and it's like exercising a muscle. One person's kindness can have a ripple effect, and we just don't even have a clue how one kind act that we participate in can change something. We just don't know. But as each one of us comes into alignment with our true nature of love, we truly can help bring forth a world of peace. As Anne Lamott says, when you're kind to people, you pay attention, you make a field of comfort around them, and you get it back. The golden rule meets the law of karma meets Murphy's Law. I think that's a great way to see it. So I just finished reading a book called The Sun Does Shine. It's a true story about an African-American man named Anthony Ray Hinton from Alabama. He was falsely convicted of a double homicide and sentenced to death. He spent 30 years on death row, an innocent man. And when he arrived there, he was angry. He was bitter. He didn't speak to one single person in that prison, not guards or inmates. He didn't utter a word to them for the first 3 years that he was there. And he completely shut down his heart. And then one day, he heard someone in a cell nearby sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. Now, there was always screaming and yelling and crying out going on death row, but these heart-wrenching sobs, this was the deepest despair he'd ever heard. And he tried to shut out the sound because it was so distressing. And then, suddenly, it abruptly stopped. And that was even more distressing to him. He worried that the man maybe was killing himself or something. And so he finally spoke. After 3 years, he spoke and he called out to him and he asked him if he was all right. And there was a long pause, but finally the man answered and said that he had just received word that his mother had died. And at that moment, Ray experienced the reopening of his heart in compassion. And throughout the book, you see his humanity being reawakened, and it all coming from that moment of caring for another who was suffering. And he was finally released after 30 years, completely exonerated. He should never have been arrested in the first place. And he holds no ill will. He's just filled with gratitude to be outside prison walls. But he found his heart even when he was inside of them. And he did that by lifting his vibration to one of compassion and caring, cultivating what I like to call kindfulness, the new clear energy. He widened his circle. And after reading his story, I thought, if he can do it, my goodness, surely I can as well. When I think of all the sort of petty things that keep me from being connected, and here's why this matters so much. Here's exactly why. This is a computer-generated image that can actually be measured by a magnetometer. And this is the energetic field of the heart, which has been measured up to 15 feet from the body. Now, these fields are real, even though they're invisible. They're like radio waves. And we affect each other with our energy field. I mean, have you ever walked into a room and thought, whoa, something happened in here, you can cut it with a knife, even though you don't even hear a word? We're walking into that energetic field. Same as if you've sang with a group and had harmony in some way. You know how that feels? There's a resonance that gets created, a harmonious resonance. Again, we're creating that energetic field. So whatever we are putting out there is affecting others, you know? And depending on the vibrational signature, think of the effect we're having on those around us. And so our work is to lift ourselves into a vibrational frequency that is in alignment with our true nature, and then to sustain that feeling. divine frequencies such as kindness and love and gratitude and harmony and peacefulness. And in order to lift our vibration out of a mindset of separation and fear and into connection and joy, where we actually embody our true divine essence, we have to move our focus from here to here. It's an 18-inch journey from head to heart. And it's a very long journey sometimes. And it takes practice. You know, we can't think our way out of separation. We can only feel our way back into connection. And we will talk more about how to do that next week. But for this week, I invite you to take up a practice that 18, you know, doing that 18-inch journey through a simple process. Are you up for a little bodhisattva training?
Yes.
Very simple. Imagine breathing into your heart. Think of someone or something that you appreciate, so you actually activate a feeling. You don't want to just think about it. You want to feel it, and then let it expand, let it radiate, let it grow. Spending 5 minutes with this practice can shift everything. We create an energetic signature that is coherent and harmonious, and then we take that out into the world, and we share that with the world. Every single one of us is here to live a heart-centered life, doing our part to bring forth a world that works for all. Are you up for it?
Yes.
Rock and roll. You guys rock.
Thank you, Dr. Jane. That's an amazing message, per usual.